Hey, Jason, man, how are you doing?
I'm doing well, Ellen. Thanks for having me on today. Excited about doing this.
Me too. Jason and I met at a dinner not long ago and had the opportunity to get to know each other a little bit. He works with us via MPK. We know him from our beloved investment partners, and you know a lot about taxes, and I thought our franchisees and folks, listeners of the podcast, could really benefit from your expertise today. So that's why we're here.
Well, happy to share thoughts, and we'll get a solid hour in of talking tax.
Okay, sounds good. And to get started, tell us what's great about you. Tell us a little bit about your journey and why you're just delighted to help us today.
Sure. So I've been in the tax business for close to 30 years now. Started out in the public arena and moved into the corporate world some time ago. I've stopped gauging my age off of birthdays and off of tax seasons because I feel like it's more relevant to life at this point in time. My background is very, it's pretty broad. It started off in corporate, doing corporate tax work. Transitioned into individuals and trusts, and so I've got a pretty broad scope of how the tax world impacts businesses that then transitions into their owners, and so what that means at the ultimate level of folks that are paying tax, because not everybody's set up in a corporate structure where your legal entity is the taxpayer. We see that a lot of efficiencies built with having the tax structure set up in a, what they call a flow-through structure, which then leads into an individual that people would claim on their 1040 or into a trust if they've done estate planning and stuff like that. So I've been in all areas of tax. I'm dangerous in the state tax world, but don't dabble in that as much as the federal. But yeah, it's been a solid 28 years for me. So
Well, and I my area of expertise is sales minus expenses equals profit. Like that's what I know how to do is help people make cash and profits. But what to do with it after that is really an area of expertise I have none, and I've been so fortunate to have great accountants my whole life. But what I like about you so much is that you're down to earth, you're fun, you're a nice guy, and you make it easier to get your arms around this. And that's why I'm so eager to have this conversation with you today. Now, as we're visiting, we're past the corporate tax date for today. Now, I have advised, my franchisees as well as other folks in my life. Hey, based on your suggestion, Jason, if you're not ready to go, file an extension. You do have to make the estimated tax payment. Delaying the tax return doesn't mean delaying the payment, but it does give you a breather. You've got a chance to, get your ducks in a row before the next due date. So there are some things that you could suggest that we do before our personal taxes are due. And then there's also, just good strategy moving forward. So maybe you could get us started. If the time frame is gone, what are some things that we can still do to make sure there's no surprises and we're not maybe paying more than we need to in taxes?
sure. Well, so you're exactly right. We did have one deadline pass yesterday. If you're a part of a partnership structure, your business is set up as a partnership or as an S corporation, then that filing deadline was yesterday. What I would tell you is if for some reason you missed that deadline, you're late theoretically, but those are flow-through structures. Okay. So there's no tax that's being paid by those entities. There may be a filing fee that the IRS would want to charge you for not filing the return on time, but there's no tax due with those. So at least you're not dealing with heavy penalties for owing money as
Okay,
far
so
as
that's like if
liability.
I'm a, so let me just time you out. So that if I'm an S corp, that's what you're talking about, a flow through that's still going to be taxable at a personal level.
That's
So
exactly
if you're
right.
like a regular similar corporation, and some of our franchisees are, then they're going to be paying tax at that level as well as at a personal level.
That's right. If you're set up as a true corporation, then that entity, the corp, will pay the tax. Their taxes aren't due until April 15th, the same day that the individual's taxes are due. So you've still got a little bit of breathing room.
Okay. All right. See, this is why we're here today. All right. Excellent.
So yeah, what I would say, one of the first things, pieces of advice that I would give someone, really regardless of what structure you're in or if you've missed the deadline or you're still working towards the deadline, is to, I strongly encourage folks to find a tax professional to help them. People going at it alone, especially business owners that are trying to run a business. I mean, no disrespect, but you're trying to run a business. A lot of the times you don't have time to focus on the things that are a lot of the accounting points of the business, whether it's putting financials together, much less trying to take those financials and interpret them from an income tax perspective. People that are, our brains work a little differently. Those of us that are in the income tax world, I wouldn't say that we always find it fun, but we find it challenging and interesting. And we get it. Not everybody's brain works that way. And so finding someone that can help you and help make the process more efficient and more effective, because they can go about it in preparing your return in a way that's going to hopefully maximize the efficiency of what you have to pay income tax on. So try to find a tax professional. That's the first thing that I would tell somebody to do.
Well, and you know, I was just talking with the franchisees yesterday. Most tax, I tell them a tax accountant is going to help them stay out of the pokey, which means in compliance. And number two, develop a good tax strategy. And all of that should be with no surprises. That's what I don't like, is a surprise. Oh, now you got to, stroke a check for this much and you didn't see it coming. That's no fun. So given that, tax accountants aren't going to be great bookkeepers. They may have good bookkeepers in their, contact list and someone that they can refer. But the business owner, a good bookkeeper, and then a tax professional are really, this is the team we're looking for here.
Absolutely.
So maybe, yeah, and maybe you could give us some tips, like, how do you know you got a good one when it comes to your tax accountant?
That's a great question. They're asking the right questions of you. It's not someone that's just taking your information and then putting it on forms and saying, okay, here we are, we're finished. They become a partner in your business from the perspective of wanting to understand how your business works, wanting to understand what you're trying to accomplish in the immediate and the longer term future, so that they can help you strategize and how to efficiently do that from a tax perspective. Whether you're looking to purchase equipment, or you're looking for way down the line with an exit strategy to maybe sell the business, or if this is something that you're wanting to keep for a long, long time, and you've got young kids that you're hoping to pass this on to, how do you set this up from an estate tax planning when the business needs to transfer from one generation to the next? You want them asking those questions. They don't have to ask all of those questions right out of the gates, but they need to be asking those kind of questions so that you feel like that they're engaged in you and in your business.
I love that. And so important to know what your goals are, because that's going to impact your tax strategy. If you're trying to build your profit line, your EBITDA for an exit, or if like that's just not on the radar right now, that's going to make a big difference in terms of what some of your recommendations might be.
And hopefully, if you have a good accountant, a lot of the organization around just the numbers takes care of itself, because that's happening on a day-to-day basis. But it's helpful if the tax accountant can speak to the accountants that are doing the bookkeeper as well as the business owner, so that they can help organize the information in a way that is efficient from a tax perspective. Because not everything that the company may be doing to generate income or expense may have a tax consequence to it. So sometimes you have to maneuver through the numbers to see what is it that's really meaningful here from the tax perspective.
I love that so much too. Like, it just reminds me that the owner is always ultimately responsible. It's your money. It's your job to pay attention to it and to be in good communication with your professionals. Because, you know, if you get into trouble, you can't say, oh, my accountant told me to. You're supposed to know what's happening. So this interaction between the owner and the your tax accountant is so vital.
We have to remind our clients of that all the time, is in that we're a part of the process, and the tax accountants obviously take ownership of their work. But at the end of the day, that return is being signed by the owner of the business with a statement that says that you agree with and you're in knowledge of the information that's on these forms that's being submitted to the IRS. So even though you've hired someone to do it, the IRS expects that the owner actually has some knowledge of what's being submitted, because if there's a problem, they're not going to the accountant, they're coming to the owner.
Bam. Exactly. Okay. So what are some tips? The tax season, or the tax year's over, anything we can do, you know, one, get a great accountant. What else could we do to mitigate the challenges or capitalize on opportunities?
Yeah. So I think that if you're someone that has not filed their return yet, and so I would assume that a lot of folks maybe haven't filed their return yet, just because they may be in a flow through structure, or they may be set up as a C corporation, or they may just have this as a sole proprietorship. And so this is hitting their personal return in some fashion. What I would suggest that you do, you know, when you get past the getting an accountant, get organized, is start to look at your balance sheet and look at your income statement. See what that bottom line looks like. We always start there. We're like, okay, what do we look like right now? And what's our starting point? And then you start scrubbing through some of that detail to see, are there things that we can do to maximize the efficiency of that bottom line? You know, the tax world kind of works opposite of what the business owners want the financials to look like when they're looking to maybe get a loan, and, you know, and so then they're taking their financials to the bank or whatnot. They want that income to look really high and look very profitable. Well, when you get to the tax side of it and what you're reporting to the IRS that you're paying tax on, you want that number to be as low as possible, because that's what's driving that tax payment. Now, we need to keep things legal, but there are strategies of things that you can do to try to negate, you know, paying some tax by maximizing those deductions. For example, you know, one of the big ticket items that everybody's always talking about is bonus depreciation. How can we write off purchases of assets if we're buying assets? So if you were someone that started your franchise this year, or maybe you did some overhauling to renovate some of your office space, or you needed to buy new equipment because some of your equipment was just old and worn out, you know, a lot of the times on the accounting side, they'll set those items up and they'll depreciate them over a number of years. Well, the tax code allows you to write some of those items off, whether it's through this bonus depreciation concept, or there's this Section 179 concept that's out there that allows you to fully expense these items up to a certain dollar amount, which is usually in the millions, in the first year. And so if you're someone that made a whole lot of money this year, congratulations to you.
Yay.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, that's the name of the game. But what can we do? Maybe we say, hey, we know that the accounting side of this is depreciating these over 4 or 5 years to get kind of a you know, same deduction for that length of time. But we're going to write all that off in year one so that we can maximize the expense to lower that income number so that we're paying less tax. Now, we don't have those deductions down the road, but that's tomorrow, that's next year's problem. We're dealing with this year's problem.
Well, let's talk about that though. So suppose you didn't lose a lot of money. Does it make sense not to do Section 179? Right. So those are some other things. Like, what if you don't have to go below zero on your income? Like, right. So we want to mitigate that. Or
that's
you know,
a great point. Those are the things that the tax
consider that.
Yeah, and that's a great point. Those are some things that the tax accountant should work with the business owner to strategize on. If we don't need the deductions just because we didn't make a lot of money or we had other expenses that were large, then don't go take that maximum depreciation deduction because you don't need it, and save it for next year because you might need it next year.
Yes. I love this. What else about last year? And then we want to jump over to like moving forward, because in the current year, we have lots of opportunities to do things better. This could be our best year yet for accounting and tax strategy. But looking backwards to a year that's already over and we haven't filed yet, what are some other tips?
One of the things that I also tell folks, and usually this is hopefully discussed when a business owner is talking to their tax accountant, but people need to remember that there's the federal side of this, but there's also a state side of this. A lot of the times these franchisees may be doing business in, maybe their location borders a state or multiple states. Maybe their franchise has done so well that they've opened up multiple franchises in other states. And so they may have a footprint in more than just one state. And so in all but like seven states in the union, there's an income tax on income that's earned in that state. And so for most of the nation, you not only pay federal income tax, you may be paying state income tax as well. And so there are specific rules that some of these states have that differ from the rules from the federal perspective. So talking to if you haven't filed yet, obviously talking to your accountant and knowing what are the differences and what the implications of my tax liability may be from a state perspective versus a federal perspective. Don't forget about the states.
Oh, that's really a good idea. And that might even be with like rental income or something, not just income from sales, you know, of doing the work that we do, but also from other portions of your business.
Sure. The states have multiple types of tax. You know, income's just one of them, but there's transfer taxes, there's personal property taxes, sales taxes, all of those things, which, you know, normally during the normal course of some of those things, you're just filing on a monthly basis, like sales tax. But there are things like business property tax, in addition to, you know, income tax, that not all the time, you know, these owners don't know that some of those things exist, especially if they're in the early years of starting their business. And so making sure that you're aware of the different types of taxes that you may have just signed up for when you start a franchise in a certain state. And usually your tax accountant's going to have some wherewithal of that information.
That was going to be my follow-up question there. So sales tax alone can be confusing, differs state to state, and sometimes even township to township. Would a good tax accountant be a great resource for that? Would they know?
They might. What I would tell you is that if they don't, the tax world is a great networking world. And if they, you know, some folks to their credit, like myself, maybe I know some things regarding sales tax. We're here in Texas, so I know a decent amount about sales tax rules here in Texas. But if I was helping a client that had a business also in, say, New Mexico, I don't necessarily know the rules in New Mexico. What I do know is a lot of folks in my profession that would know about sales tax in New Mexico, or would know who to put me in contact with that would have that expertise. And so
love that.
A tax accountant might know, but if they don't, they're willing to raise their hand and say, I don't know, but I know someone that does.
I love that. So as the owner, keep asking, just like, you know, next question until you feel comfortable that we've covered everything. So that's what's important about this podcast is that this is going to give you the questions to ask when you sit down with your CPA.
Sure.
Yay. Okay. What else have you got for last year? And let me know when you're ready to springboard to this year.
Yeah. I think the only other thing that I would mention about when we're dealing with the current filing season is when you're talking to your tax accountant about your filing, ask some questions of them that is more longer term, you know, like 2 to 3 years down the road, because that's going to lead into the discussion that is for this next year and really kind of have them to start thinking about things that are important long-term for your business. And I don't just mean like if you're looking to for like to expense things or whatnot, but this kind of transitions us a little bit into the what about for next year. But you're, like I had mentioned earlier, a good tax accountant is going to ask you questions that aren't just meaningful for right now, but are meaningful for, you know, the longevity of your ownership in the business. Whether it's maybe you're looking at bringing on a new partner, maybe you're looking to expand the business, maybe you're looking to sell the business. But depending on how you've structured your business, there are efficient ways to address all of those questions that I just asked. And not all of them are as efficient as others. And so getting in front of that and making sure that you're setting it up correctly, or if you need to change something that you set up because taxes weren't something that you were thinking about when you first set it up, is important to do before there's more damage done than needs to be and it becomes costly and painful to try to accomplish things that are longer term that maybe you weren't thinking about in the short term.
Oh, you know what came to mind as you were talking, and I've done this too many times, is that come up with a great idea for a bonus or a partnership and you're promising the moon. And now you talk to your accountant and they're like, why? No, why would you set it up that way? You could have done it so much better. And then you have to unwind it. So I think that's such a, you know, good point, especially when it comes to the people on your team. You know, you want to get them involved, you want to reward them properly, but let's look at what those tax consequences could be for you or for them. That gets complicated and it's water to tread carefully into with the advice of a good tax professional.
Yeah. Yeah. Hopefully they're asking those questions, you know, but a red flag for a business owner, I would think, to know whether or not they have a good tax accountant would be if they're asking some of those questions. First of all, are they asking you questions or are they identifying things that are running, that are expenses running through your business that may or may not be an efficient way to, you know, to is it efficient from a tax perspective? Because the rules are I want to say complicated, but are very specific. You know, it's, you deal in things with like travel and meals and entertainment and home office deductions. And there's all kinds of different things that are out there that are available that are expenses that a business owner can take, some of which they may know, some of which they may not know. But even within that arena of expenses, some of those things, the tax code changes. So some of those things are deductible. Some of them have been deemed non-deductible now. So let's make sure that if we're spending money, that we're spending it efficiently inside the business to get a tax deduction so we can knock down that net income and pay less tax.
Love it. Hey, here's a thought too. Just a reminder for franchisees, you have month-end checklist and a year-end checklist in your operations manual. And the checklist is designed, I got it from my accountant once upon a time, and we've edited it since. You can edit it yourself too with the help of your accountant, but it's just a reminder of things that they're going to do and check, that you should check, and gives you a good list of questions to ask. Things like 1099s usually slip through the cracks. Your payroll provider doesn't do them. Your accountant only will do them if you ask them. So there are reminders there on that month-end or that year-end checklist. Also, what I would encourage, and I'd love your thoughts on this, Jason, I like it when we get our year-end journal entries. Okay, we've been visiting with the accountant, we've got our tax return ready to go, and you've prepared then a balance sheet, you know, that you're going to turn over to the IRS. There's going to be some adjustments that will need to be made to your QuickBooks file. So unless you're being proactive, your accountant isn't responsible for making sure those get done, but you could work with your accountant to make sure that you enter those journal entries properly and that your QuickBooks balance sheet, your financials in QuickBooks, foots to your tax return is very, very good form. Because sometimes I'll look at financials that don't have depreciation on them, don't have the new assets, or the assets aren't lined up anymore. And now we're looking at bogus information because it's not true. What do you think of that? I mean, I know you're going to agree, but like thoughts on that, Ty?
I mean, it happens every day. We get financial statements from a bookkeeper of a business, and they're doing their job, but they don't necessarily maybe have some things coded correctly. Maybe they've not, you know, they have coded things correctly, but then there's certain entries, like you said, that they don't make. There's no depreciation on the books. Red flag to the tax accountant. Where's the depreciation? Maybe they just set them up on the balance sheet and the accountant doesn't know to depreciate them, doesn't know how to depreciate them, meaning, well, what kind of life would I assign? How long do I depreciate them? Never asked a question to anybody, so never thought to make the journal entry, and here we are, and we have no expense there for depreciation. Or there's an account that's been set up, like I had suggested, for like travel, and knowing, okay, well, what all's in that travel account? We may need to scrub that account, because if it's got meals and entertainment in it, then we may need to back some of that off, because some of that's deemed non-deductible from the IRS. You know, there's things also, and this, again, we're somewhat transitioning into the things to think about for next year, but any of these folks that are business owners that the income flows through to them, through a flow through structure, or that if they're a sole proprietor and this information ends up on, say, their 1040, that income is going to be deemed as what we call self-employment income. Okay. Self-employment income is a painful concept, because in that arena, you are deemed to be the employee and the employer, because you're basically self-employed. And so any taxes that are normally paid that are associated with earnings, like for you and me, we're employed by someone, we get a W-2. And so the taxes that are taken out of our paychecks are Social Security tax, Medicare tax, and then federal income tax. As a self-employed person, those same taxes are taken out, but there's this concept called a match. And the match is taken out by the employer, so we don't see that side of it because our employer's paying that in. As a self-employed person, you're paying the match and the piece that's associated with the employee, which is you. And so there's a double tax. I don't want to call it a double taxation, but you're paying both sides of it. And that's right. That's a painful concept for a business owner to understand. If you're in a part of a business, If your business has made good money during the year, one of the planning strategies that I tell folks that are self-employed that's very helpful, obviously, everybody needs to think about retirement, right? They need to think about saving for retirement. There's this neat concept that's called a self-employment 401k or a self-employment IRA. And it's a retirement vehicle that is a self-employed person that you can put money into through your business that you set up, you know, that goes into a tax deferred account for you personally, that you can then, you know, invest in whatever you want to. And any earnings that you're making over there, you're not being taxed on until you hit retirement. So it's going to grow at a higher rate because you're not paying tax on it, but you get a deduction on your business taxes for the money that you contribute into that retirement account. So it's a win-win. And that's a huge benefit that not a lot of folks know about. A, it's important to save. And B, by doing the saving, you're actually able to take a deduction for your businesses, which lowers your income, which what you have to pay tax on. So why not keep the money in your own pocket versus paying it to Uncle Sam?
Oh, that's such a good idea. And as an older person, if I had heard that advice 30, 40 years ago, it would have gone in one ear and out the other. And it is just so important. Like if you start early, the one thing that you can do for yourself is capitalize on the time. It's like Benjamin Franklin said, the eighth wonder of the world is compounding interest, right? Like if you could start early, I'm speaking to you kids out there, but even as a business owner, you think you have all this time, but it goes so fast. It's like 15 minutes ago, I was 25 years old. You start now, that small amount is gonna really add up. And just the discipline of putting money away like that is so powerful and important. That's a really great tip, Jason.
Yeah. It's never too early to start saving, Ellen. And so, and like you said, if you do it early, the compounding compounding benefit just pays more dividends than you can find any other way.
Yeah, it's the time factor that makes such a difference. And how cool to do that as a self-employment IRA or retirement program. And a good tax accountant is going to help you set that up.
That's right. Because okay, those are within the tax rules. And so a good tax accountant is going to be knowledgeable of how to get the deduction for that, and how, because there are limits on how much money that you can put into them. It's based off of the net income of the business. And so they're going to know those rules. And again, they may not be the right person to actually tell you where to go to set up the account, because that may be more of a financial planner's perspective. But that's when you have them coordinating communication, either with you or as the business owner, or if you want to give them the number of your financial planner, then they say, hey, you know, John, you know, his business was really successful this year, and I've talked to John about wanting to set up a retirement account, a 401k SEP, as they call it, a SEP account. And so can you help us set one of those up? And so then your financial planner, whether it's through Fidelity, you know, Charles Schwab, heck, even the online brokers like TD Ameritrade, they all have them, and they're not set up at all. And so they'll help you set that up, and then you coordinate with the tax accountant on how much money can be funded into it. And before you know it, you got money sitting in your retirement account and you've gotten to take a tax deduction for it.
I love this so much. That brings up another thing too. We talked about your overarching, you know, financial team. It's you as the owner, and you're the one assembling the team and in charge. And then you're going to have someone do the bookkeeping. And this, sometimes this person's called an accountant. We call this person an accountant, but it's not the same as a tax accountant. And you need the tax accountant and a financial planner. And it's not a bad idea, especially for the year we're in, to get everybody on a Zoom meeting, everybody at the table to talk about, you know, make introductions, make sure they can ask and answer questions of each other. That's one more player in this loop, isn't it? Is your financial planner.
Ellen, you put the ball on the tee perfectly for me to hit a home run with there.
Okay, let's hear it. Let's take a swing.
That was my first tip that was for the 2023 tax year is communication. Establish communication amongst all of the parties that need to be involved. The business owner, the traditional accountant, bookkeeper that's doing your books, your tax accountant, and anyone else that you deem that would, you know, be of benefit to be a part of that process. If you have an attorney and you feel like maybe you want them to hear things that are associated with what's just going on, what you're talking about and concepts of what the business is going to be doing, and the business plan and the financial plan for the company for the rest of this year, or for the next year or two or whatnot. And so it lets everybody strategize together and see what makes sense from this person's perspective and then this professional's perspective. And everybody's on the same page. And not just the communication, but consistent communication. Maybe setting up a quarterly call amongst all of these people so that we don't go 6, 9 months or a year before we all talk again. And so that it might just be 10, 15 minutes, because I know everybody's busy and everybody's, you know, got a full plate, but 15 minutes to just, okay, what do we need to catch up on? And let the business owner just start with what's happened, what's on the horizon in the next couple of months. And it just lets everybody think and everybody respond. That consistent communication is critical.
So good. And that's what avoids the surprises.
That's exactly
then right. We don't have to have the surprises. I don't like the surprises, Jason.
Yeah. No one wants the surprises. Unless it's a birthday party. And then I guess it's maybe.
I don't even like that. I don't even like the surprise. I don't know. Maybe. But give me a little heads up. Then I'll tell you. So good. All right. So that's really great advice. What else do you have for this year now? Let's make it our best year yet.
That's right. So as we're having those meetings, we're having those discussions, and we're talking about what it is that we're doing in the business, and what we can, you know, how we might, you know, want the tax part to play in this. We start talking about some of those things that we mentioned that are, do we have big purchases? Are we fixing to sign some new contracts that, for revenue? And so we're going to have an uptick in income that we didn't have last year. And so now we've got to talk about, okay, how do we make sure that we plan to be able to pay Uncle Sam properly if we're looking at a big year? And even though there's this concept that we can pay off of last year's tax liability, there's a coming to Jesus with the tax man in the next year, and don't go spend all that money because you're gonna have to pay at some point in time. So you start talking to your tax accountant and probably your financial planner about setting aside the money to make sure that you have what's needed when you actually have to write that check, so that we avoid those surprises. So again, it's more about the communication, but it's getting in front of estimated tax payments if that's a thing for you. It's thinking about the state tax liabilities that we talked about, because that becomes a part of this as well. And so thinking about estimates and estimated tax payments, I would say, is something that we're obviously, you walk through that, you know, every quarter of the year. So that's something that maybe is a part of those quarterly calls to make sure that you don't get behind, because it's already bad enough when you have to write a check. It's just insult to injury when you have to write a check that includes penalties and interest on it, because then that's just wasted money.
Let me ask this too. Payroll is such a big deal. You know, you've already made reference to some of the implications. So if you have passed through, you're a pass-through company, it makes sense to pay yourself a salary so that we can discipline ourselves to make that payment, I suspect. I want to go there, and then I have a follow-up question about payroll too. So can you dive into that a little bit for us?
It's a good thought, and it's a very disciplined thought for folks to consider doing that. In the partnership world, and I don't want to get too technical, but if you're set up as a partnership and you're a partner in your partnership, meaning that you own part of the partnership, there's this concept that you're not allowed to pay yourself a salary. That just doesn't exist in the tax world. You can give yourself what's called a guaranteed payment, which is basically like a salary, but there's no income tax withholding, no payroll taxes that are taken out on that payment. Okay. If you're set up as an S corporation or you're set up as a true corporation, then you have the ability as an owner of the company to pay yourself a salary. And then the traditional taxes like you and I are used to are taken out of our checks and they're sent into the IRS. That's a very helpful thing for a lot of business owners, because then they're not having to worry about paying the money in on their own. One of the biggest frustrations that tax accountants will often have with self-employed business owners is that they rock along through the year. They're not making estimated tax payments. They either don't know they need to make them, or they're using the money to reinvest in the business, or they're pulling the money out of the business for, you know, because the mortgage has got to get paid or whatever it is. And they don't set aside the tax money. And then they get to April 15th of the next year and it's time to file their return. And their tax accountant says, you did great this year. You made $200,000 of income. And because of that, you owe $40,000 worth of tax. And they're like, I'm sorry, what? And then it's a scramble to try to find the money. And so consistently paying it in on the quarterly basis or running it through your paycheck if you're in the proper structure to get it to the IRS to where you don't even see it, sometimes is just a good approach for some folks. But
okay, and that,
so that's estimated tax concept that if you're not, if you're in a flow through structure, you make those payments quarterly, you just know that you need to make them, you don't get behind, and it's really no different than what's happening on someone that's a W-2 earner.
Yes. Okay. So what I'm hearing is that if you're working well with your tax accountant, paying yourself a salary isn't always the best way to go. It's just a safe way if it's appropriate. But these quarterly meetings will help you decide what your better strategy is.
And it'll put you on notice that if you are in that flow through structure, you need to make those payments. And so your tax account's going to say, hey, Joe, or John, we've got that quarterly payment coming up. Don't forget, we talked about it. You sent me the financials for this quarter. We've looked at them. We've run the tax adjustments on it. You made $50,000. So we need to send the IRS $10,000 or whatnot. And so and you're coordinating in a very timely manner.
My accountant tells me, don't eat all the donuts. That's how he says it. Don't eat all your donuts because you're gonna need to save a few for later. Let me ask this follow-up question about payroll. And it also gives me an opportunity to remind our franchisees, bonuses. This is just payroll law in general. And I'm not an expert, but I know to pay attention here. Bonuses are subject to overtime. There are rules associated with payroll that you might not automatically know about. And sometimes your accountant doesn't even know about. And I know that your payroll tax provider, like Paychex, ADP, Gusto, they won't tell you about this. So we do need someone who's going to be an expert in labor law as well to help. That might be someone you have at this this quarterly meeting to make sure that you are in compliance with the payroll, the bonuses, whatever you're paying your team members. Do you want to comment on that, Jason?
Absolutely. And that's, payroll is a lot of the times the biggest, if not the biggest, one of the biggest expenses that a company will have.
And it is for us.
Yeah. And payroll is its own, it's its own breed of how it works and the tax implications of it, meaning just the payroll taxes associated with payroll expense and the timing of payroll. So yeah, just to comment on your comment there, you're exactly right. There's several things that I would just mention that the business owners are to know and questions that they should ask. And I'm not a labor law expert, but again, I've done this long enough to be able to tell folks these are some of the questions that you need to ask. First of all, is timing. When are you looking to make the bonus payments? A lot of the times the business owners want to see what the year looked like before they actually pay bonuses. So those bonuses are potentially being paid out, after the end of the year. And so if you're a cash basis taxpayer, a lot of the times, the business owner will say, well, what good is it going to do to me on my taxes if I'm paying those bonuses in the next year? I don't get the deduction if I paid them in February of the next year, but I'm paying taxes off of December 31 of that year. Well, there are accrual mechanisms embedded in the tax code that allow you to be able to say that as of year end, we thought we were going to pay bonuses of X. And so we put them on the books and accrued them. And as long as those things are paid within a timely fashion after year end, you're able to take those as an expense associated with the year of results that you're paying them on. And so that the timing is something to think about and something to coordinate with your tax accountant. The other thing that you're going to want to think about, obviously, is just from the perspective of how the computation works for the bonus and the withholding on the bonus, because bonuses are required to be withheld at a higher rate than just your normal compensation. And so sometimes, the folks that are the recipients of the bonus will get that bonus check and they'll be like, what the heck? you know, they said I was going to be getting a $10,000 bonus, but my bonus, the cash that actually hit my account is Y and not X. And so what happened to all that money? Well, there's a higher rate of withholding that's required on those bonuses. So making sure that whoever's processing the payroll, if you've got an ADP, a Paychex, a Gusto, somebody like that, they're going to know that as long as you tell them that it's a bonus payment. And so having those discussions is something that, yeah, is very helpful.
Yeah, and the regular bonuses, not just like a year-end bonus or a one-off, but our bonuses, our commissions on a weekly basis, yeah. It can get complicated because of overtime and that timing thing too. What time period are we attaching that bonus to in order to calculate what overtime factor we're going to need to apply? Does it sound complicated? It is, and that's why you need professionals.
100%.
That's just my love for the franchisees. I know it's challenging, but not overcomable. These are just like the rules of the game, and you need some help to figure them out.
Well, and what I would say is kind of a summary thought to a lot of what we've discussed here is, if I'm a business owner and I'm hearing a lot of this, I'm thinking, okay, A, this sounds, it becomes exhausting at some point in time because these folks are telling me I need to get all of these different people together. And it's a coordinating effort of all of this. And all that takes time. And I'm sure all these people want to get paid for their services. So it sounds like that could be very costly as well. There may be a small piece of upfront pain in getting all of this set up. But once you have this infrastructure of talented professionals in place that are servicing the specific needs that you have in the different areas of your business, it quickly becomes a well-oiled machine that doesn't take an astronomical amount of time, on each one of their parts when they're all working together and everything is being done in a timely fashion. It works very smoothly, which makes the process efficient, which makes it less costly.
Oh, what an encouraging thought, because that I felt the energy of that for sure. Like this guy, what am I going to do? But it's like putting on your big girl pants, your big boy pants. This is what being a business owner is about. Take a deep breath, get through it. And it isn't as painful. And the money that you save, the lawsuits you avoid, the challenges, you know, the surprises you avoid, it's well worth it for sure. So we're getting close to our time. Jason, what's on your list that you wanted to make sure you shared with us today?
You know, we've covered most of it. I think that I'd go back to just summarizing where we sit right now, whether it's looking in the past to try to get your 22 taxes done or looking forward into 23, get that tax accountant. If you don't have them, please get one. If you have one, I'm sure they're great, but ask them some of these questions that we've discussed today so that you make sure that they're doing the proper job for you that you've hired them to do. And so that we get back to that communication.
It's so good. And, you know, why are we doing this? Why are we doing all of this? We want to make money and we want to create wealth for our families, for our team members. And, you know, getting your arms around the money is essential in that journey. You know, at some point we're looking at that, you know, an interesting thing, you know, starting to work with MPK. Again, I'm limited in my overall understanding of taxes and even high finance. You know, these are areas I really haven't played before. But what's really interesting to me is I'm absolutely validated in my understanding that profits and cash are the two big numbers. Those are your critical numbers. And what we're trying to do is create profits and cash. And then how do we protect and leverage it as we move forward? So, you know, this is all part, like, that's why we're here, dear franchisee. This is why we're doing this podcast for you today. And Jason, I am so happy, one, to have pressed record today and to have you as a friend. And I look forward to doing more of our fireside chats if you're up for it.
Absolutely. We'll make sure that this isn't the first and last. I'm looking forward to future discussions and tax.